From Jakarta, Indonesia, here is Voice of Indonesia with English program, presenting news, information, and entertainment from Indonesia. You can listen to our program through shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz, online streaming voanews.id and at RI Digital Mobile Application. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
Listeners, how are you today? It is nice to meet you again with me, Rahma, who will accompany you in 60 minutes ahead. In today's edition, we present some information starting from news, commentary, and so forth. We will also play some songs. Now let's begin with news, so stay with us only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz.
Here is the news first, the headlines. President Joko Widodo says Indonesia needs to continue structural reforms. Indonesia condemns Israel's deadly attack on Gaza school. Xi calls on world powers to help Russia and Ukraine resume direct dialogue. I'm Nuka Kusumawati, now the news in details. Let's begin with the national news where Indonesian President Joko Widodo emphasized it is necessary to continue the structural reforms on the country's governance so that it remains efficient and results-oriented. In his welcoming speech at delivery of report of audit results on the central government financial report for fiscal year 2023 in Jakarta on Monday, he hoped that the reforms that had been underway would be continued with regulation so that they would run more efficiently.
Saya berharap reformasi struktural yang telah berjalan penting untuk terus.
I hope it is necessary to continue the structural reforms that have been underway. We should continue to synchronize the regulation and simplify the procedure so that the governance runs more effectively, efficiently, and result-oriented, not procedure-oriented.
Berorientasi pada hasil, bukan pada prosedur.
President Joko Widodo also said that Indonesia has done much deregulation and debureaucratization. However, there are still unsynchronized regulations and complicated bureaucracy. He emphasized that it is easy to blame such things in investigation and it becomes a source of fear for government officials. Therefore, he asked all levels of the Indonesian government apparatus to continue the structural reforms. On similar occasion, Indonesian President Joko Widodo expressed hope that the Indonesian State Audit Board, or BPK, would support the transition to a new government led by President-elect Prabowo Subianto and Vice President-elect Gibran Rakabuming Raka. As reported by Antara News Agency, President Joko Widodo added that the support is needed to maintain Indonesia's progress. The head of state is also optimistic of receiving the board's support to continue improvements in the government ecosystem and build a government system that is accountable, flexible, and result-oriented. He expressed optimism that the current and future governments will always pay serious attention to the State Audit Board's recommendation so that the state money can be utilized well and managed in a transparent and accountable manner. The State Audit Board, or BPK, has given an unqualified opinion for the Central Government Financial Report, or LKPP, for fiscal year 2023 and the Summary of Audit Report for semester 2 of 2023. The opinion is the 8th unqualified opinion received by the LKPP since it obtained the first unqualified opinion in 2016. Indonesia condemned the indiscriminate attack mounted by Israeli occupation forces on Central Gaza's Al-Juni school, operated by the United Nations Relief and Works Agency for Palestine's Refugees, UNRWA. The Indonesian Foreign Affairs Ministry wrote in a statement on X on Monday. The ministry pointed out that Israel had continued to commit atrocities and been consistent in violating international law, which led to ever-increasing number of civilian casualties. In the statement, Indonesia also slams the UN Security Council and Israel's backing countries for not having taken firm action against Israeli occupation. Forces that have murdered over 38,000 Palestinians and injured around 87,000 others. Earlier, the Gaza Health Ministry reported that Israeli forces had committed a massacre in a school located within the Nusayrat refugee camp in central Gaza, noting that inhuman act resulted in the death of 16 civilians and injured about 50 other people. The Palestinian resistance force Hamas responded by labeling the savage attack as part of the genocide campaign being carried out by Israel against the people of Palestine in the Gaza Strip. Hamas also demanded that the international community and the UN take the requisite effective measures immediately to put an end to Israel's violence acts and war crimes in Gaza. Indonesia's Trade Minister Zulkifli Hasan said on Saturday the government would impose import duties on 7 imported commodities from various countries. He said those goods are textiles, ready-made garments, ceramics, electronics, cosmetics, finished textile products, and footwear. Before imposing the import duties, the minister said the 7 imported commodities would be reviewed by the Indonesian Anti-Dumping Committee, or KADI, and the Indonesian Trade Safeguard Committee, KPPI. If the import figure disturbs Indonesia's industry, the safeguard measures and the anti-dumping import duties will be calculated. Zulkifli Hasan also said that import duties will definitely be imposed if imports start to destroy the Indonesian economy. Researchers at the Food Crop Research Center of the Indonesian National Research and Innovation Agency, Gatot Wahyu Anggoro Susanto, succeeded in assembling a fast-bearing soybean variety as an effort to increase the potential yield of soybean cultivation. As reported by Antara News Agency on Monday, Gatot explained that he uses a genetic approach through breeding by developing early maturing superior varieties. He explained that plant breeding methods can be done conventionally and unconventionally. Conventional methods are carried out through artificial crossing, introduction, and introduction of mutation, while unconventional methods are carried out through gene cloning or gene copying to get certain superior traits. Through his research, soybean varieties can be produced with a short vegetative period, fast growth, suitable for short growing season, and resistance to environmental stress. Let's move on to the international news, where the Philippines and Japan on Monday signed the Reciprocal Access Agreement, or RAA, a key defense patch that will allow the deployment of troops on each other's territory. As reported by AFP, Filipino Presidential Communications Secretary Chiloy Garafil said the agreement was finalized at Malacanang Palace in the Philippines' capital, Manila. In the finalization, Japanese Minister of Defense Minoru Kihara and Minister of Defense Yoko Kamikawa are holding talks with their Philippines counterparts Gilberto Teodoro and Enrique Manalo. The accord, which Tokyo and Manila began negotiating in November, provides the legal framework for both countries to send defense personnel to each other's territory for training and other operation. Japan invaded and occupied the Philippines during the World War II, but the two countries have since grown closer due to trade and investment, and more recently to face Chinese moves in the Asia-Pacific. Chinese President Xi Jinping on Monday told visiting Hungarian Prime Minister Viktor Orban that world powers should help Russia and Ukraine restart direct peace talks. As reported by AFP from Chinese broadcaster CCTV, Xi said that when all major powers exert positive energy rather than negative energy, the dawn of ceasefire in the conflict can appear as soon as possible. Orban, who has recently visited Moscow, Russia, and Kyiv, Ukraine, said. Earlier, his announced trip to the Chinese capital, Beijing, was a peace mission 3.0. The visit comes a day before NATO is due to hold a summit to mark its 75th anniversary, with setbacks in Ukraine set to dominate discussions, and follows Orban's surprise trips to Russia and Ukraine in the past week. CCTV said Xi and Orban's talks focus on in-depth communication on the Ukrainian crisis, where Xi appreciated Orban's efforts to promote a political solution to the Ukrainian crisis. Listener, now let's move on to commentary for today.
Here is today's commentary on Iran's new president and a hope for peace in the Middle East. I'm Dalat Pani. Iran officially has a new leader. On Saturday, Masoud Pezeshkian was elected as the new president of Iran, replacing Ibrahim Raisi, who died from a helicopter accident on May 19, 2024. After losing two times in the 2013 and 2021 election, in 2024, Pezeshkian secured the position after raising more than 16 million of 30 million votes versus his rival, Saeed Jalili, from the Conservative Party, who only got 13 million votes. After ensuring his victory, Pezeshkian wrote on X that there will be a difficult road ahead unless it is with friendship, empathy, and trust. Many world leaders congratulated Pezeshkian, who wished his leadership would encourage peace realization in the Middle East, mainly with Israel. Meanwhile, Japan's Press Secretary Kitamura Toshihiro, escorted by Antara, said, Tokyo hoped Iran would play a constructive role to reduce tension and stabilize the situation in the Middle East. Pezeshkian's statement about friendship and empathy brought a new hope for peace in the Middle East. Iran's election was held amid increasing tension in the Middle East because of the war between Israel with Iran's allies Hamas in Gaza and Hezbollah in Lebanon, as well as rising pressure from the West against Iran for their advanced uranium enrichment program. Pezeshkian, who is a former Minister of Health and a former member of Iran's parliament, has been known as a moderate reformist figure who is likely to push for a pragmatic foreign policy. Iran's new president is expected to be able to ease tensions in negotiations with major powers to revive the nuclear power deal in 2015, which is now stalled. In addition, it is also able to increase its prospects for social liberalization and political pluralism. That was commentary.
Well, listener, that was the news. I'm Nuko Kusumawati, Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world. We begin today in history with an event on July 8, 1940 when Kemayoran Airport was inaugurated. Kemayoran Airport was officially opened on July 8, 1940. This airport was the first airport in Indonesia to be open for scheduled international flights. Although it was inaugurated on July 8, 1940, the airport had actually been operated since 2 days earlier with the first aircraft landing, a DC-3 Dakota type, owned by the Dutch East Indies Aviation Company, Koninklijke Nederlands Indies Luchtvaart Maatschappij, or KNILM, which was flown from the Cililitan airfield. The airport officially ceased operations on March 31, 1985, with the commencement of the transfer of flight activities to Soekarno-Hatta International Airport. Let's move on to the next event in 1994 when North Korean leader Kim Il-sung passed away. Kim Il-sung, the leader of North Korea, who served since 1947, died at the age of 82. Kim Il-sung died of a heart attack on July 8, 1994. The North Korean government reported the mourning 34 hours after his death occurred. A mourning period was officially declared from July 8 to 17, during which the national flag was flown at the half mast across the country and all forms of entertainment and dancing were banned. The 82-year-old dictator was the only ruler North Korea had, taking command with the blessing of the Soviet Union when the Korean Peninsula was split into two countries in 1948. We end today in history with an event in 2022 when Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe assassinated. The assassination of Shinzo Abe took place on July 8, 2022, when the former Japanese Prime Minister was giving a speech near Yamato Saidaiji Station in Nara. He was shot in the chest at 11:30 a.m. local time. At the time of the shooting, Abe was giving a speech on behalf of the Liberal Democratic Party ahead of the upcoming Advisory Council election. Abe was shot 3 times from behind with a homemade shotgun. He was rushed to a local hospital with chest injuries and was reported to have no vital signs at the hospital. At 12:07, Abe was reported to be unconscious. The attacker was a 41-year-old man from Nara City, Tetsuya Yamagami, who is a former member of the Japan Self-Defense Forces. The perpetrator was arrested by the Nara Prefectural Police at 11:42 a.m. at the scene of the incident. According to the police, the murder was committed by the perpetrator because he was dissatisfied with the government of the former Japanese Prime Minister. Thank you.
Listeners, next we present you a program called My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
Today's My Indonesia is on Indonesia strengthens strategic partnership with Turkey. Indonesian Deputy Minister of Defense Muhammad Herindra paid a bilateral visit to Turkey on Thursday, July the 4th, to meet with a Turkish Deputy Minister of Defense Bilal Durdali and a number of Turkish defense industry CEOs. Quoting kemhan.co.id, on July the 4th, Muhammad Herindra said Indonesia considers relationship with Turkey as important and both countries have long established defense cooperation. According to him, there are many opportunities to expand defense cooperation between Indonesia and Turkey, particularly in building mutual trust, increasing the capacity of the armed forces, and developing the defense industry sector in the future. The visit is part of strengthening the Indonesia-Turkey strategic partnership in the fields of defense cooperation and industry. On the occasion, Herindra and Durdali affirmed their joint commitment that the defense ministers of both countries to work together closely, build strategic partnership, and contribute toward peace and stability. The deputy ministers of defense of Indonesia and Turkey hope that both countries can contribute positively to the development of cooperation, especially in the defense sector. During the visit to Turkey, the Indonesian Deputy Minister of Defense also visited FNSS Defense System, which is the Turkish defense industry. Indonesia, through PT Pindad, has cooperated with FNSS, including in joint development of modern medium-weight tank. This cooperation has reached the stage of prototype refinement conducted by FNSS in Ankara, Turkey. The Deputy Minister Herindra also visited Turkey's aerospace industries, or TUSAS, in order to realize the achievement of cooperation with PTDI, including the development of an unmanned aerial vehicle. According to Antara News Agency on Saturday, Indonesian Ambassador to Turkey, Ahmad Rizal Purnama, who accompanied Deputy Minister of Defense Herindra's visit to Turkey, said that Turkey is the right partner in the development of defense industry for Indonesia, apart from being Indonesia's trusted partner in multilateral fora and current crucial issues. Turkey is one of the few countries willing to partner with Indonesia in the transfer of technology mechanism for the defense industry. That was My Indonesia Today.
Jantungku terpompa setiap kita Wahai cinta, beri pertanda, dengar kupu-kupu yang bicara, bisingkan dada, melantunkan nada. Asmara, anai kecinta, setangkai bunga, takkan buat kau layu dan kecewa. Kan ku jaga indah hatinya. Cinta, beri pertanda, bisingkan nada, melantunkan nada. Asmara,
you're still listening to the English program from Voice of Indonesia. Now we present Indonesian Wonder about tourism and local wisdom of Indonesian people.
Well, listeners, welcome back to today's edition of Indonesian Wonder. Today's episode of Indonesian Wonder will bring you to Nirup Island in Riau. Listener, Nirup Island is located in the southwest of Batam Island. Part of its coastal area is covered with dense mangrove forest. On the other side, trees typical of tropical forests grow thickly, which is a habitat for wildlife, such as monkeys, monitor lizard, and seabird. Nirup Island also has a fairly long coastline. The island, which also has a natural stretch of sand, makes it a great place to hold various beach sport activities, such as beach volleyball and beach soccer. With the topography of the island, if you visit this island, you can put up a tent and spend the night here. If you want to do snorkeling, Nirup Island can also be a favorite place. Coral reefs thrive here, as well as marine habitats such as various types of fish and other marine life. Nirup Island is actually located in bay-like waters in its northern part of adjacent to Pukan Island. Because the island is flanked by a cluster of islands, the waves and wind that hit the island are relatively calm, so it's not dangerous if you want to swim or do other activities. From the west of Nirup Island, you can also freely see Pamping Islands, which is inhabited by several fish families. To go to Nirup Island from Batam City, you have to go to the ferry port in Sekupang. From there, you have to take a boat to Belakang Padang District. From Belakang Padang, continue your journey by renting a boat to Nirup Island. The boat rental price depends on your agreement with the boatman. The journey from Belakang Padang to Nirup takes about 20 minutes. Before going to Nirup Island, make sure you bring your own food, as there are no restaurants on the island. If you want to stay overnight, there are no hotels on the island. You can set up a tent on the beach. Also, make sure you have brought your complete camping equipment. That's Indonesian Wonder.
Voice of Indonesia, the overseas service of Radio Republic Indonesia, broadcast in 9 language services, English, French, German, Dutch, Spanish, Arabic, Mandarin, Japanese, and Indonesian. Voice of Indonesia is broadcast via shortwave 3325 kHz and 4755 kHz and via streaming on vonews.id and RRI Digital on mobile application. We present various programs for you. Diplomatic Forum, The Session, Indonesian Wonder, Miscellany, Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, Indonesian Pop and Regional Songs, International Musical Entertainment, as well as news and information about Indonesia and abroad. Voice of Indonesia, from Indonesia to the world.
VOI listeners, next program we have Let's Speak Indonesian, in which we introduce you to some Indonesian vocabulary and expressions, and we invite you to speak Indonesian language. This program is cooperation between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology.
Hello, welcome back to Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, which introduces Indonesian vocabulary and guides you to speak in Indonesian language. Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia is a collaboration between Voice of Indonesia and the Language Development Agency of the Indonesian Ministry of Education, Culture, Research, and Technology. Today's topic is Di Bali. Di Bali, which means in Bali. You will listen to a conversation about kalau tidak dilindungi. Kalau tidak dilindungi, which means if left unprotected. Chris, a vlogger from Australia, was talking to a staff member at the Sea Turtle Conservatory. The staff told Chris about the impact if the sea turtles are left unprotected. Let's listen to their conversation.
Di Pulau Serangan ini ada 3 jenis penyu yang dikonservasi, yaitu penyu hijau, penyu sisik, dan penyu lekang.
Mengapa penyu-penyu itu dikonservasi?
Kalau penyu-penyu itu tidak dikonservasi, kehidupan terumbu karang di sini terganggu.
After listening to the conversation, I will introduce you to some vocabulary and expressions related to today's topic. Kalau tidak dilindungi. Kalau tidak dilindungi, which means if left unprotected. I will say it twice and you can repeat after me. Kalau, kalau, which means if. Penyu, penyu, which means sea turtle. Dikonservasi, dikonservasi, which means being conserved. Kehidupan, kehidupan, which means life. Terumbu karang. Terumbu karang, which means coral reef. Terganggu, terganggu, which means disturb. Kalau penyu-penyu itu tidak dikonservasi, kehidupan terumbu karang di sini akan terganggu. Kalau penyu-penyu itu tidak dikonservasi, kehidupan terumbu karang di sini akan terganggu. Which means, if the sea turtle are not conserved, the life of coral reefs would be disturbed. Pulau Serangan, which means Serangan Island. Tiga jenis, which means 3 kinds. Penyu hijau, which means green sea turtle. Penyu sisik, which means hawksbill sea turtle. Penyu lekang, which means Olive Ridley sea turtle. In this conversation, you hear the expression kalau penyu-penyu itu tidak dikonservasi, kehidupan terumbu karang di sini akan terganggu. Kalau penyu-penyu itu tidak dikonservasi, kehidupan terumbu karang di sini akan terganggu, which means if the sea turtle are not conserved, the life of coral reef will be disturbed. In the expression, there is the conditional conjunction kalau, kalau, which means if. It connects the clause penyu-penyu tidak dikonservasi. Penyu-penyu tidak dikonservasi, which means the sea turtle are not conserved. And the clause, kehidupan terumbu karang di sini akan terganggu. Kehidupan terumbu karang di sini akan terganggu, which means the life of coral reefs will be disturbed. The first clause mentioning sea turtles is the condition or cause, while the second clause mentioning coral reef is the result of consequences. The two clauses are connected with the word kalau, kalau, which means if. Another example, let's listen another use of conditional conjunction kalau. kalau, which means if. Kalau kekurangan makanan, tukik akan memangsa tukik lain. Kalau kekurangan makanan, tukik akan memangsa tukik lain, which means if they lack of food, the turtle will prey each other. Kalau kamu datang terlambat, kamu akan tertinggal pesawat. Kalau kamu datang terlambat, kamu akan tertinggal pesawat. Which means if you come late, you will be late for the flight. For your information, in Indonesian, there are several animals similar to penyu. Penyu, which means sea turtle. They are kura-kura. Kura-kura, which means tortoise. Bulus. Bulus, which means Asiatic soft-shell turtle. And labi-labi. Labi-labi, which means soft-shell turtle. Kura-kura. Kura-kura, which means tortoise, has legs and lives in land and water. While bulus, bulus, and labi-labi, labi-labi, which means soft-shell turtle, have flipper for legs and a soft shell and live in fresh water. Before we end today's Mari Berbahasa Indonesia or Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, let's have another go with the conversation.
Di Pulau Serangan ini ada 3 jenis penyu yang dikonservasi, yaitu penyu hijau, penyu sisik, dan penyu lekang.
Mengapa penyu-penyu itu dikonservasi?
Kalau penyu-penyu itu tidak dikonservasi, kehidupan terumbu karang di sini terganggu.
Listener, that was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia for today is about kalau tidak dilindungi. Kalau tidak dilindungi, which means if left unprotected. We hope today's edition will be useful for you who wants to know more about the Indonesian language. I'm Nuka Kusumawati. Sampai jumpa.
I know you got your door halfway open, but tell me if you in, are you out? 'Cause we both know that time waits for no one, so why are we still hanging around? It feels so good when we're here with nobody, so let's not fight the mood. I don't need anybody, as long
still tuned to the English program from Voice of Indonesia only on voinews.id, RRI Digital Mobile App, and shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz. For the next segment, we present to you Music Corner.
Voice of Indonesia.
Listener, today's Music Corner presents a keroncong song entitled Nyur Hijau by Gustin Arviana, accompanied by keroncong side of ex-keroncong orchestra. The song, which was once routinely played for the opening broadcast on Radio Republik Indonesia, was created by R. Maladi. Having worked at RRI was one of the factors that led Maladi to be appointed Indonesian Minister of Information for the period of 1959 to 1962 under the government of the first president, Sukarno. Maladi also served as the first Minister of Sports in 1964 to 1966. The song Nyur Hijau is able to evoke a sense of nationalism, telling the natural beauty of the archipelago as the homeland of love of the Indonesian nation. Well, listener, here is Gustin Arviana featuring side of ex-keroncong orchestra with the song Nyur Hijau.
Thank you.
Voice of Indonesia.
Aku tersesat menuju hatimu. Beri aku jalan yang indah. Izinkanku lepas penatku untuk sejenak lelap di bahu.
VOI listener, thank you so much for listening to the English program of Voice of Indonesia through shortwave frequencies 3325 and 4755 kHz, voinews.id, and RRI Digital Mobile App. Please give your suggestion and criticism through our social media accounts, Facebook fanpage, The Voice of Indonesia, The Voice of Indonesia, or Instagram at VOI_official. Or send email to voilisteners@gmail.com. voilisteners@gmail.com. I'm Rahma signing out. Bye for now.